and to the people of Guatemala. He has landed in Guatemala safely, Lord, and we thank you for that. And Lord, I ask that you bless him and Megan so that as they go in Guatemala, your word and your goodness is taken wherever they go, Lord, so that your kingdom advances there, so that darkness is pushed back, Lord, and that your light shines forth with every step they take and every word that they speak and everything that their hand touches. Lord, I thank you for the goodness that you have put here in Fellowship Church, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So as they were singing this morning, I got to tell you, there were a few places where Emily's voice came down and the music came down a little bit. And back there from the back of this sanctuary, I could hear all of you quietly singing. And it was beautiful to me. In fact, I had to fight back a little bit of tear watching my daughter sing and watching you guys sing with her. And I thought to myself, if that's beautiful to me, it must really be beautiful to God. Man. The next time that happens, I hope you guys are louder so that that beauty can be heard all outside this building. So thank you guys for singing along with them. You guys need to give them a hand. Aaron, great job on the piano. It was good to hear the piano. RJ, thanks for stepping up, man. So a couple of announcements I'll give you guys. Obviously, one announcement is that Dale made it safely, so that's good. Another announcement that we have is, thank you there, Mike. Another announcement that we have is going to be a lot of fun. Next Sunday from 5 to 8, we're going to do an adult scavenger hunt. I cannot wait to see what that. Oh, well, kids are invited too. Thank you, Wendy. Right. Right. There will be no child care, is what we're saying with that. You will be the child care on the scavenger hunt. So that should be fun. We did this a few years ago, and it was lots of fun. I would show you the pictures, but then you might not come. So I won't. So, and then Wendy's youth group, they're going to be handing out a bunch of stuff, a bunch of supplies and everything to ALFs this week. They need those by Wednesday. So if you guys can get those up to the church, Wednesday's the last day. They're going to pack that stuff up on Wednesday and carry it out to those folks 6 to 8, right? And kids will play water games. So if you're going to be involved in that, wear something you don't mind getting wet. And so there we go. So this morning, we got a special treat for you. We've got Steve Williams and his wife, Sylvia. They've just got here from Orlando. Like, you drove here from a convention in Orlando this morning, right? All right, cool beans, man. So Steve is a Gideon, so he's going to come up and he's going to talk a little bit about the Gideons, and then he's going to give us a message. I'm excited to hear about that. And so as he's speaking, I want you guys to think, you know, as Gideons is a big, good cause. You know, they're the ones that leave those little Bibles in the hotel rooms, and they're the ones that get the Word of God out. They're the ones that sort of push back the darkness, just like Dale is doing this morning. So think about, you know, if you've got a little extra cash that might go his way. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Steve, and you can use this one. Okay. Do what?
I can hold it. It's no big deal. Everybody hear me okay? I got a few props here, so let me get those set out before they fall over. Books don't like to stand up on their end. Yeah, we just drove back. I am pumped. I'm telling you what. We had about 1,800 Gideons show up from internationally. We met people from Guatemala, from Cambodia, from all different places all over the world. And it was awesome. Because of COVID, a lot of the international folks couldn't join us because they were blocked leaving their country. I spoke to one guy from Bulgaria. He had to take a 7-hour train ride to switch where he was flying out of. He went to Turkey and flew in, was able to fly out of Turkey and come to the United States. Anyway, it was tough, but it was wonderful. We had a lot of worship, a lot of music. It was great. And I'm really pumped. I hope you can feel that enthusiasm. First of all, I want to say thank you to whoever wrote that article. Mike, thank you so much, Mike Hosey. And a little article in your bulletin this morning about the Gideons, thank you so much. Yes, Gideon the Lord blessed him with his sword, and 300 guys beat a huge army. So that's kind of what the Gideon's mindset is. So this morning I'm going to give you an update on the Gideons, and then I'm also talk to you a little bit about my personal testimony, and I promise not to keep you very late. So the peace of buffet is calling, she said. Okay, maybe I've had too much coffee, I don't know. Anyway, let me start out by saying this. This is my first time speaking here. I've spoke all over Alachua County and different churches. I really love it. My home church is First Baptist Church of High Springs, born and raised right here in High Springs, baptized at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. And anyway, I just love the, my wife and I, Sylvia, got married about 5 years ago. And when we got married, instead of giving us another blender, which we didn't need, somebody gave us a Gideon card saying they were donating Bibles in the honor of our marriage. And I thought, well, that's cool. What is that about? So we investigated that, and we became Gideons from that. So that's how we got into the Gideons. And that was wonderful. The Gideon card program is something I'll touch base about. But let me start out with asking you a question. Does anybody remember the date, December 7th, 1941? Does that ring a bell with anybody? Right. The bombing of Pearl Harbor. That's correct. Earlier that same year, there was a Gideon named Charles Pice who lived in that area in Pearl Harbor, and he appealed to the Gideons International for pocket-sized testaments. Up until that time, Gideons were mainly known about being in hotels, and they put the hotel Bibles in the drawers in the hotels. But he was appealing to the Gideons International for pocket-sized testaments so sailors and soldiers could do this, put it in their pocket, or ladies could put it in their purse. Makes a lot of sense to me. So he wanted to get those testaments out to the Pacific Fleet there in Pearl Harbor. He was insistent that he had a burden for the sailors who continually passed through his office, and he told the members of the cabinet that if they would sponsor his proposal, he would personally pay for the first 10,000 of the little scriptures, which he later did. On Easter Sunday, he boarded the ships and presented 10,000 testaments. Now, that's Easter of 1941. A few months later, during the July 1941 Gideon, Michigan State Convention, he related how the sailors had accepted those scriptures and testaments, and he asked for 40,000 more. And within 30 minutes, the Gideons had raised the money and assembled the money together to pay for those 40,000 additional testaments and 500 Bibles. So on September 16th, 1941, those 40,000 additional testaments and 500 Bibles were distributed on the ships in Pearl Harbor. During the days following the December 7th bombing, as many of the bodies of our soldiers and sailors were brought up out of the water-soaked New Gideon Testaments were removed from their clothing. Many of those testaments had the signatures of the men signed in the back where they had accepted Jesus Christ before this happened. And as a result, the Gideons went back to Washington and obtained permission to distribute testaments to all members of the armed forces. Folks, I was at a yard sale about a year ago, and I ran across this little Gideon New Testament. And inside of it, it says, I'm going to read one little paragraph here. As Commander-in-Chief, I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the armed forces of the United States. And it goes on with more of a paragraph there, and it's signed by Franklin D. Roosevelt, January 25th, 1941. Isn't it wonderful that we had our leaders were instrumental in distributing God's word way back then? Church, I have a question for you this morning. Are you involved in doing things that have eternal significance? Think about that for a second, eternal significance, or are you just going through the motions of life without focusing on our Father in heaven? I was baptized at the age of 12 right there at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. However, as an adult, I was caught up in the ways of the world and not focusing on my relationship with Jesus. A lot of people have that issue. I was thinking, hey, God, I got this. I got my career. I got my family. I got this. I realize now there were many times, though, when God was trying to get my attention, and he and calling me, and I continued to tell him, not yet. One time I became a Sunday school assist teacher. I was to assist a lady in her 80s who was teaching sixth graders. Well, 2 weeks into that, she became ill and never returned. So guess who was the teacher for these sixth graders who ate my lunch? Anyway, well, like I said, God was calling me in many ways and trying to get my attention. That was one of them. And I am no prophet, but when I think of my own life, the boy Samuel kind of comes to mind when he was with Eli. So I'll paraphrase 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. The Lord called Samuel. Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am," and he ran to Eli. "Here I am, you called me." Eli said, "No, I did not call you. Go back and lay down." So he went and laid down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel got up and ran back to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lay down." A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went down, and he lay in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as he other times, "Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Folks, that was my life in a certain way. I was going through many years there without listening to God. He was putting things in front of me, and I was just not listening. I was not listening and living my life and living in the world. And today I will speak about four points that cleared that veil for me and opened my heart to a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Point number one is I had to figure out how I loved Jesus. In Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31, Jesus says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like this, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these." We see in these verses that it's all about where our heart is. Do you love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Years ago, I rededicated my life and really started working on my relationship with Christ. I finally allowed the Lord God to have full reign over my every aspect of my life. The question today is, do you? Our salvation does not depend on how good you are compared to everyone else, or how many good things you do or how many bad things you don't do. All of us are born sinners and born in need of God's salvation. God loved all of us enough to allow his son to die on the cross in our place. Jesus paid the sin debt for each of us, and by his grace, we are saved through how? Through faith. If we believe in him, abide in him, enter in an intimate relationship with him, we will gain eternal life. Belief begins with obedience, allowing Jesus to become Lord and Savior or master of every area of our lives. So prayerfully consider where your heart is. You know where your focus is. Is it on Jesus or something else? Maybe it's on Facebook or social media or shopping, or for you guys out there, how about hunting? Point number two, as a Christian, I was answering the command of Jesus to share the word about our Lord and Savior. Or was I living in the sin of silence? Why spread the gospel by speaking publicly or personal witnessing? Paul says in Romans 10:14, "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" That's the King James Version. And it may be a great thing to model for people what a Christian is and what they look like, but it's a greater thing to tell people about Jesus. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power that after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You may notice that God's word says, you shall be witnesses. It does not say, be a witness when you get a chance, or be a witness when it's convenient. As I have heard many times, the Great Commission says, go. It is not an option to consider, but a command that God says must be obeyed. The Bible tells us that if we don't do what is good, it is sin. For the person who knows to do good and does, and this is James 4:17. For the person who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it is sin. I had not been active in sharing my faith and have committed the sin of silence. That's me. I am deeply concerned for all of God's people who are disobedient in their area, in this area of their life. It's rare to find more than 10% of any congregation, regardless of the denomination, that have shared their faith in the past year. So look around. That's about 10 of you guys have only shared their faith. What about the rest of everybody else? As a faithful church member, how can I say I experienced a meaningful worship time on Sunday but remain silent on Monday? It scares and it saddens me to know how late I waited before starting to tell others about Jesus, and especially how many missed opportunities I had over the years. Point number three, but was I really a follower of Jesus? Or just settling for a Christianity that revolved around catering to myself when the central message of Christianity is actually about abandoning ourselves? Was I settling for a Jesus who looks and thinks like us? Can you be a believer and not a disciple? Jesus says you have radically different priorities when you become my disciple. Are you willing to come to Jesus on his terms? These are questions I had to ask myself. Christianity does not consist of begrudgingly obedience to Christ. I know I need to go to church. I know I need to take my family to church. I know I need to volunteer and help out at church. But does our love for him drive everything we do? So I ask myself, do you love Christ? Is it the reason why you live? In our culture today, we idolize our children, our marriages, our parents, friends, relationships, social media, to the point where Jesus Christ gets the leftovers of our affections. But being a disciple of Jesus Christ means you forsake all relationships in favor of an intimate relationship with him. Dead to ourselves and self-centered planning for our lives, a Christ-centered life changes our priority. Point number four, and this is where I found myself. God can change your life for the better. I had to stop living in the world. The Spirit of God worked in my heart and convicted me that he wanted to know me. Our Heavenly Father loves me in spite of all my sin and all my disobedience. After all the things I had done in my life, God was still listening to me. What about you? Are you still running to Eli when it's really God who's calling you? Are you still trying to find something out there when God is trying to speak to you in your place? For years, I thought worship meant to go to church and sit in a pew or in a chair. I was like a caterpillar crawling into church and crawling out. Then I added Sunday school or life connections, and with that, I thought I was doing what God wanted or commanded me to do. However, I soon learned that that was only a very small part of being a Christian. I then joined a men's group and began to meet once a week for Bible study. Still not feeling that was enough, I began looking for other things to do, and I began to pray for opportunities to share the good news. I wanted to change from a caterpillar to being a pillar of the church. You know, one of those columns that holds the roof up. When Sylvia and I got married, we received a Gideon card from friends who donated Bibles in our honor. I mentioned that before. What a great concept. We were combining households, so instead of that other blender we didn't need, these friends donated Bibles in our name. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it is written, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. With the distribution of over 2.4 billion Bibles and scriptures, that is the goal of the Gideons. Let me repeat that, 2.4 billion. He mentioned hotels, and that's how we certainly started out, by placing these in hotels. I think it started with two traveling salesmen in a hotel somewhere near Chicago, 1899. But members in the Gideon's International is more about placing and distributing God's word. Winning others to Christ is our main objective, the fruit of good work. Yet as Paul says in Colossians 1:10, it takes more than good works to please God. Walking worthy includes bearing fruit through good works and growing spiritually. Both are better accomplished together. That's why Sylvia and I are in the Gideon's, because it helps us to grow spiritually. The Gideon's International, most simply put, is a few men of the church using a little money of the church and taking the message of the church to a lost and dying world. We strive side by side for the faith of the gospel with Fellowship Church. The word strive literally means fight. And folks, you know we are in a fight with the principalities trying to control this world. Our goal is to reach those outside the church and compel them to come in. Our method is personal witnessing, and as led, we may pass out copies of God's word. Praise God for a unique counterculture place of service where we can engage the enemy in this world and in the battle for souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Church prayers and support from fellowship have enabled the Gideons to provide an average of 76 million scriptures annually for the last 4 years. More than 71.2 million scriptures were shared in 2019-2020. But the demand was even higher. I'll show you here. Organized in over 200 countries, territories, and possessions, Gideons around the world distribute scriptures in over 109 languages at the rate of two for every beat of your heart. That's 1 million scriptures every 5 days. Gideons and auxiliary, which are the wives of the Gideons, distribute to motels, hotels. But here's where you may not know about. We just put them in hospitals. We give them to chaplains in the hospitals. We go to nursing homes. We give them to the fire department, the police department, the EMT personnel, schools, colleges, domestic abuse centers, crisis pregnancy centers, and with your help each year, we place thousands of scriptures in the hands of our brave military serving in the Middle East and around the world. We have the Life Book, which I didn't bring a copy up here with me, and that's something we give to teenagers to take to schools. Even schools that say, oh, you can't bring a Bible in school, well, the Life Book's not a Bible. It's just the book of John, and now it's the book of Mark, and you can share it with your non-Christian friends. We have the Bible app, and this is awesome. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles like YouVersion or some of those others, but it does have a lot in it, and it has the things, life's issues, like if you're angry, or you're depressed, it tells you what verses to review. It has the plan of salvation in it. And folks, it has over 1,600 languages. If you were to run across somebody, which I have in the University of Florida campus distributing scriptures, and they were from China. This young man was from China. I pulled up the country of China on the Bible app, and it had like 30-something languages. One of them was Mandarin, and I'm just picking that. I think it's what he spoke. I clicked on Mandarin, and in a minute, my phone updated to the Bible in Mandarin, and he could read it. That's an awesome app. And better yet, you could put the play button on it, and it would read it to him in Mandarin. That's an awesome app. Gideon cards, and this is our new display that we're going to leave here out in your lobby. But the Gideon cards are a great way to share the gospel. We encourage you to... when people pass away or instead of flowers, you may want to consider donating Bibles in their name. Or Pastor Appreciation, I think, is the month of October. That might be a time when you want to fill out a card for your pastor or for birthdays or for other occasions. A great way to let people know you're thinking about them, praying about them, and you're also distributing Bibles. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." You see, I've shared a few testimonies with you, and I have a few more, but I don't really have to share them with you. You see that the personal evangelism and the distribution of God's word works. Why? Because God says so. Perhaps you're wondering how you can help this wonderful ministry. Let me share three ways. First, and most importantly, pray for the Gideon's International. Pray that we will be able to meet the overwhelming demand for God's word. Just recently, the Sudan was open to the Gideons, and we have camps now in Pakistan, Syria, Lebanon, and Jordan. The Gideons are placing God's word and witnessing in 32 of the 50 most persecuted countries worldwide. The hunger for God's word in these countries is hard to express. Pray for the word to transform these nations, and hear me now, please. Pray for the word to transform our nation, including our great USA, Florida, right here in Alachua County, and right here in High Springs. We live in the third largest mission field in the planet, and we live in a country that needs Jesus. Please. Amen. In October, we celebrate Take Your Bible to School Day, and COVID really hit us hard last year for distributions and church services. But in October of 2019, Take Your Bible to School Day, our camp here went to Buholtz High School, to Mabane, and a couple other places. And right there on the sidewalk outside of Buholtz High School, we distributed 200 scriptures. And folks, it'll make your day when you're out there on the sidewalk and some students walk out of the school and say, "Hey, you gave one to my friend. Can I have one too?" Yes, you can. You certainly can. And we gave out over 40 on the sidewalk in front of Mabane High School. Now, in this country, in this county, we are not allowed on the school property, but we stand outside on the sidewalk. And in some counties, they let them go into the schools, and that distribution is much higher. You see, our young people are hungry for God's word, and every year, several camps combine their resources to provide a major distribution at the University of Florida campus. Usually, we go the first Tuesday in November, and Santa Fe College campuses in Gainesville, where our goal is to distribute several thousand scriptures. Secondly, to support our camp, the Gideon's International, I'm speaking to the men of Fellowship Church. Consider joining the Gideon's. This is your clarion call to get out of the pew or out of your chair and join us on the front row of kingdom expansion. Men, ask yourselves, as I ask you today, are you fulfilling God's purpose for your life? Are you? Are you impacting the kingdom in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth? The Gideon's International is a great ministry for couples. As wives of the Gideon's greatly assist in the distribution of God's word, they go where we're unable to go. Domestic abuse centers, crisis pregnancy centers, women's jails and prisons, etc. If you're one of those guys sitting there now and your wife's kicking your leg, she's probably encouraging you to come see me or Sylvia after the service. I am trusting that God is speaking to someone out there today. Brothers, we need you, but perhaps even more, we need your wives. There are so many doors opening that require a woman's heart. After worship, we'd be glad to speak with anybody about the Gideons. The spiritual disciplines we practice through striving side by side for the faith of the gospel will strengthen a man and woman's spiritual character and competency and your courage, thus enhancing a Christ-centered life. Remember back when I was talking about not now? Enhance your Christ-centered life. Let us equip you with the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. And let me make this perfectly clear. You have all the time in the world to do something that God wants you to do. And finally, you can support the ministry financially. The bulk of the administrative costs in the Gideons is borne by the Gideons themselves. This allows us to place scripture in the hands of someone who needs it anywhere around the world for only about $1.40. The Gideon International Convention that we just went to, the money that Gideon, received from church donations goes to print and distribute these. Nothing else. It doesn't go for our conventions. That's paid out of our pockets. Let me, if you came this morning with your checkbook, you can fill out the, put it in a check in the envelope here in the bulletin and pass it to us. Or you can mail it in if you like. Just mail it to us. And let me also encourage you to use the Gideon card program to send cards in memory or honor of loved ones and let them know you're praying for them and donating Bibles. And don't forget that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Folks, we all know how COVID-19 affected us in 2020. However, in the 5 months ending in 2019, the Gideons International celebrated 188 new Gideon camps, including 5 in Turkey, 6 in Pakistan, 4 in Cuba, 8 in Russia, and 9 in Ethiopia. Over 7.5 million scriptures were distributed in those camps, those new camps. And locally, in November of 2019, we distributed almost 3,700 scriptures on the University of Florida campus in one day. And 1,850 Bible app cards. Because now, when you offer them a New Testament, a scripture, some of them will turn you down, but when you offer them the Bible app card, they all take it, just about. Well, we've turned the page to 2021, yet the world is still reeling in spiritual darkness. Millions of people have come to the point of desperation in their search for hope. During this era of COVID-19, for me personally, God has been reinforcing the priority and the power of prayer. And I believe that he is calling all of us as Gideons and Auxiliary to pray fervently and faithfully for this ministry, for the physical health and spiritual needs of those around us, and for the resources we need. We will not stop distributing scriptures. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So that's what we have to keep in mind, folks, in this COVID-19 era. COVID-19 did not take God by surprise. As he guides us through this pandemic, our objective remains the same. We will continue to win others to Jesus Christ through associating together for service, personal testimony, personal work, and through the placement and distribution of God's inerrant, infallible, and inspired word. The Gideons International is one of the most practical missionary arms of your church, offering millions of people a copy of Scripture annually. When your church chooses to partner with the Gideons International, your church partners with over 250,000 missionaries. That's Gideons and Auxiliary, their wives, serving in your community locally here, and 200 countries, territories, and possessions. God often uses world events like we're currently facing to remind us of his sovereignty and to stimulate our readiness to respond. So, we go out into the world, and as we go, we bring our testimony and witness to people we encounter. Our family, our colleagues, a student on a school campus, wherever it may be. We not only share the gospel through our testimonies, but we distribute the word itself, having placed over 2.4 billion scriptures since we began over a century ago. Through God's blessing, along with your prayers and support, the Gideons International is continually working to meet the worldwide demand for Bibles and New Testaments. In many of these 200 nations where the Gideons International is organized, people may never own or even see God's Word unless it's given to them for free. We are the most blessed nation in the world, and it's our responsibility to get the Word to the lost. In many nations, people may not ever own or see a copy of God's Word. Oh, I'm repeating myself, sorry. Church prayers and support have enabled the Gideons to provide an average of 76 million scriptures annually for the last 4 years. Excuse me. But the demand was even higher. Folks, the way it boils down is this. Of 200 countries, territories, and possessions, 186 of them can't afford their own Bibles. They cannot afford their own Bibles. It's up to countries like the United States and your distribution, your contributions to support those other 186 countries. Excuse me, my throat went dry. Imagine your life without God's word, without a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, this is the situation for millions of people around the world. In many of the countries where we're organized, people struggle just to survive. They couldn't afford a Bible or a New Testament, even if they knew how God's word would change their lives. Millions of people are living their lives with no access to scriptures. With your help and prayers, we can get God's word into their hands. You see, saints, time is short, so where will we go? The question is, where will you send us? Will you be the one that provides the next military testament or the one to that student on Santa Fe or University of Florida campus? Thank you for your opportunity to share the gospel and the Gideon's Inner Ministry today. We're simply a... Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm going to take a sip, so y'all excuse me for a minute. Oh, it's all... I got it. Oh.
He doesn't always listen. We just came from the convention, and as I'm sitting there, it's just really heavy on my heart. So can you imagine a room of 1,800 couples sitting there, women with their husbands? And as I sat there, to be in this ministry with Steve is like no other thing you can ever imagine. Ladies, to have your husband hold your hand and pray with you and guide you and go to these presentations, and I mean, my heart just swells because I knew this man before that other world stuff. And to see the transformation, to feel the love that we feel at these conventions is totally just awesome. I'm kind of preaching on, not preaching, mentioning the membership. You know, wives, you're going to love this ministry. This is a fantastic way. You talk about sisterhood. We have contacts all over the United States. And then I met several ladies from Nigeria and Pakistan that are out there spreading God's word. And their husbands were there, and just to feel the love that they have. Because when a man is a man of God, he loves you like no other love you've ever had, with the love of Jesus. The second thing dear to my heart is the Gideon Card Program. About 3-4 years ago, my brother was tragically killed. We went, had his service at 11 o'clock. When we planned his service, the spread to go over his coffin, we were told, was $500. Just that, and it was just a plain spread. It was nothing great and wonderful. Service was at 11. We got done, went, had lunch. As we came back out at 2 o'clock, that $500 spread was gone. The sun had already killed it in the month of March. $500 would have put 500 Bibles in somebody's hand. And I just, for the life of me, when someone we love passes on, cannot give a flower, I give a Gideon card in memory of that person. We have ladies in our church. I think we've got 10, maybe 8 now, that are over 90 years old. When they have a birthday, we give them a Gideon card because they do not want another Dollar Tree whatnot on their shelf. They have plenty. We donate. The thank you cards that we get from that is so touching because they know God's word lives on. We had a Gideon speaker come to First Baptist a couple weeks ago, and he spoke about Mexico. He just came from there. Their Baptist church was between two buildings and was a blue tarp between the two buildings in Mexico. That was their church. The pastor had the only Bible. Nobody else had one. And it was marked up and preached. And so when the Gideon got up and started talking and he pulled out that card and said the Gideon app, the crowd went crazy and he couldn't figure out why. They had no Bibles, but they had cell phones. Every one of them got to download God's word in a matter of seconds on their phones. And if that doesn't warm your heart, I mean, think about it. We all read our Bibles at least once a day. Think about it. Not being able to reach God's word, and all of a sudden it's right there with you. So I love the ministry. It has done wonders for our lives, done wonders for our marriage, because there's just no way I can describe the love that we have when we have God's love in our marriage. We just came back from an international, so like he said, we're pumped. We got up at 6 o'clock this morning, drove here, had to find a Burger King, so I'd get me one of them croissants and a cup of coffee. But just the time we spent together, and the hotel we was at, Rosen Shingle Creek, they gave us a blessing. Let me tell you what they did. They honored a rate from 2018, I think it was. And then they've already booked us again for the same 2018 rate. So more of our money that we bring together, the offerings we give, can go toward the Bibles. And I'm not sure if he covered it, but we don't do so much traveling as we have a lady or somebody in each country that we ship Bibles to, and they hand them out. So, and we do have what we call a blitz, which where they go out and hand out Bibles constantly. But we have missionaries plant, or people, everyday people in different countries that we ship Bibles to. So it was on my heart about the auxiliary. Ladies, hit that husband one more time, because it is a ministry that it would just fill your heart to know that your husband's a man of God and he's serving and you're right there behind him. Thank you.
Thank you. I've only got a paragraph to go, so we're almost done. Something she hit on, though, we think about Bibles in hotels, but and then Bibles internationally. We have a scripture blitz coming up in Jacksonville, Florida, next year, March. I don't know the date, 24th, I think. 4 or 5 days there, they hope to give out several hundred thousand scriptures. And that speaker that we just had last Wednesday, at our church about the international convention, talked about that international scripture blitz they had in Mexico. They get in 2 weeks' time. Now, they went to Mexico City. There's fertile ground there. There's 20 million people in Mexico City. They gave out 400,000 scriptures in 2 weeks. 400,000. Thank you for your opportunity to be here and listen to about the Giddings International. And we're simply an extended missionary arm of your church. So we're witnessing to the lost and distributing to God's word around the globe. We're distributing God's word around the globe and right here at home. Sidebar for just a second. Just a couple months ago, we had our first responders distribution. We went to every, including the one right across the street here, every EMT, fire department, police department in Alachua County. And we distributed, we gave 200 testaments to the police department of Gainesville. We gave 6, I think, across the street. We gave out other places, La Crosse, here, High Springs. We gave out 30 to Alachua Police Department. All of them, and we're working on Alachua County. That's the last place we have to hit. So we're doing Bible distributions right here at home. One more paragraph and I'm finished. Folks, God is gracious in that he gives us a memory in which we can remember great times. We all have. I mean, my memory is about shot, but some people can remember their childhood and great things, right? God gives you a good memory, but what does he not do? He doesn't let any of us see 1 minute into our future. Anybody out there can tell the future? No. One morning, my mother, who was 86 years old at the time, got up to go to the restroom. She tripped and hit her head. She died the next day. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine he was a realtor, and he went to sleep. And in what we say here in the South is he woke up dead. He didn't. He died that night. And another, and about a year ago, a friend of mine, I spoke to him at church. I said, "Hey, Mike, how you doing?" "Oh, good, good." Well, he wasn't at church the next Sunday. Seems that he went out in his, and they found him out in his yard working on his truck and found him dead in his yard. Folks, we don't know our future. We don't know what's going on tomorrow. Seems that, you know, Mike and I were about the same age, and we all know people like this. We all know stories like this. So I'm asking you today, the good news is that I do know that these three people woke up in heaven. I know that for a fact. So my question to you is, where would you spend eternity if you were not to wake up tomorrow? If you don't know Jesus, today, right now, is the time. I want to thank you all. Thank you, fellowship. Thank you very much for letting us be here today. And may God continue to richly bless this church family that calls itself Fellowship Church. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. I want to reinforce three points that he made. I really do. I can't cover everything that he talked about, but there are three things that stick out to me, and they should stick out to you, and I hope that you take them with you from here today. Number one, he took a good deal of time to talk about how, are you really serving God in the way that you're supposed to? Are you putting God first? One of the things that I have learned in my life, not just in my study of the Bible, but that I have learned through life, is that when I put God first, when I love God first, I am better able to love my wife, I am better able to love my children, I am better able to serve my church, I'm better able to serve my community. When I put something else first besides God, I do not give the proper love to any of those other people. So I want you to think about that. That doing that, where are you in your life putting God first? Are you doing that in every domain of your life? Are you serving God? Are you putting your hand to the plow? Are you doing the things that he wants you to do? The second point that he made, and this one is very, very important, is that he quoted from Ephesians chapter 6, in which Paul says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities and rulers of this dark world. What Paul is saying in that particular verse is that those things that are in the world that we fight, they are not an unbalanced checkbook. They are not a terrorist with bullets. They are not the crime in your neighborhood. What you are fighting with those things is the spiritual forces that advance those things. And you're not going to win a battle of those things with bullets, with police, with all this other stuff. Those things are important, and they have to exist in the natural world that we live. But the way that you fight those things is with spiritual weapons, and the spiritual weapon that you have the most of is the Word of God. And the Gideons are getting that Word of God out in a very physical way. They're actually passing out Bible apps. They're passing out actual Scripture. You can be a part of that. You can support them financially. You can join the Gideons. You can also put that word in your life and live it out. To do both of those things would be great. And so I'm going to leave you guys with that. I'm going to pray us out of here, and you guys can go about your way and fight these battles. Oh, actually, I do want to make one more point before I do that. You talked about the United States being a very blessed nation. It is a blessed nation. It is a very materially blessed nation. We are the most materially, economically blessed nation in the history of the world. There is no other nation in the entire world and its history who stands near where we are right now. But what concerns me about all of that wealth that we have is that we tend to squander it. And the nation itself, as a collective unit, squanders it. And the reason that we squander it is because the individuals in that nation squander it. So are you squandering your wealth? Because every single person in this room is a rich person. By world standards, you are wealthy. So just take a look at that. Am I serving God with my money in the best way possible? I'm not telling you to go give your money to a bunch of TV preachers. I'm not telling you to give your money here to Fellowship Church. I'm just asking you, are you spending your money in the right way? Am I spending this on the good and the advancement of the kingdom of God in the way that I live my life, not just giving it to people, but in the way that I live my life so that I can advance his kingdom with my walk? Are you doing that? Are you squandering that wealth that you've been blessed with? Because if you are, that's a very terrible thing. To know what is right and not to do it is sin. All right, I'm going to pray us out. Lord, I thank you for everybody who came here this morning. I thank you for Steve and Sylvia. Lord, I ask that you just bless, you continue to bless Fellowship Church. I ask that you give us the ability to be on the front line of the advancement of your kingdom. And Lord, I guess that you fill everybody here with your spirit so that they're willing to do that at the drop of a hat. Lord, I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for coming this morning.